Who's got a hymn for us to start with? Preferably the children. Why don't we start with number 40? We'll take a few more after that one. Someone start it, please. Sometimes we sing this hymn and take it for granted that Jesus loves us, and yet there's a lot of people that don't know that. But today, boys and girls, we've had this privilege to sing this, and it's true that the Lord Jesus loves us. It's a wonderful thing. Somebody else have one. Okay, Sam? 47. When he cometh,
when he cometh.
Thank you.
let's pray, and then we'll have another one, and then we'll have a little talk. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning that we can open this little meeting by singing about the love of the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee for the little children that are here this morning. And Lord Jesus, we know that Thy love for them is so great, much more than our love. We love them too, and yet Thy love is so great for them. Thou dost desire to have them, to have their hearts when they're young. And we pray if there's a boy or a girl here this morning who has not come to Thee yet, Lord Jesus, as their own Savior, we pray that they may open their heart right now to them, to Thee, that they may accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior too. And then they can sing so happily about Thy love, and they can be so happy as Thy child, our God. And so we ask for help now as we open Thy word, as we consider the young. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom and direction. And above all, we pray that the name of the Lord Jesus might be glorified this morning. We pray that the hearts of each one of us would be open to hear these things from Thy blessed word for the good of our souls. We pray this in Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Another one, please.
Number one. Almost persuaded.
Stand up at the front, you're a little bit higher, so you can look and see. I can see everybody pretty well that's here. The odd person's head might be just tucked behind someone else. But I want to start out by saying that there are some people here this morning that are paying very good attention. You're paying attention to what I'm saying. You are paying attention to what you are singing. And I know that because I could tell by the way you were focused on what you were listening to and on what you were singing. And there were a few other people here this morning that were not paying attention. Perhaps your mind was outside of the room somewhere. Perhaps it was at school last week. I don't know where your mind was, but it wasn't here. And I would encourage you, boys and girls particularly, to pay attention this morning. And it's really for your good and for your blessing that I say this. Not to be like the teacher, but please listen. I'm going to read a bit of the Word of God in Acts chapter 7 first. Perhaps I'm going to shut this. Acts chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 18. Let's read a couple of verses here. This is about when Moses was a little boy. And I think all of us, hopefully all of us, know the story of how when Moses was a little boy, there was a law that all the little boys had to be thrown into the river. And I was telling my boys this story last night when they were going to sleep. And I said, what would happen to some little boys, to a little boy, if the little boy got thrown into the river when he was just a little baby? And I got an answer I wasn't expecting. But it was a terrible answer. It was a right answer, a possible thing that could happen, but it made me really think about this terrible king that had said this about these little boys. And Ernie said, Dad, the little baby would get eaten by a crocodile. I thought, oh, that's even worse than I thought. And then Tom said, well, Dad, that little boy, the little boy would probably drown. And that's bad. Terrible. Think of a little boy. Now, I spoke to a father last night, and he has a little boy. And I'm going to ask Phil to bring his little boy up here for a sec. You could. Now, little Henry, he's how many months old is he, Phil?
3 months.
3 months. Now, look how cute this little boy is.
Adam?
Sure. I love little boys. Hopefully little Henry will be a good boy for me. Now, isn't he sweet? Can he protect himself? He can't, can he? He's completely dependent on his mom and his dad. Could he hurt anyone? No. But you know what? Do you think his daddy loves him? What do you think about his mom? She does. So, this dear little boy, we love him just looking at him. He's so precious. Now let's read about this chapter here. Thank you very much, Phil. Thanks for sharing your little boy. So Acts chapter 7, verse 18. Another king arose which knew not Joseph, that dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their little children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. So that little boy, 3 months old, and the commandment was that all the baby boys would be taken and thrown into the river, and there they would be drowned or eaten by crocodiles. Can you imagine? That little boy, 3 months old, his parents would take him, put him in the river. What kind of a king would say something like that? Isn't that sickening? It's sinful and mean and cruel. And our hearts go, oh, that's awful. Think of all the little baby boys that drowned in the water. Just like that. Now, what about Henry's parents? Think of Phil and Abby taking their boy and putting him in the water and knowing that he'd be gone. They wouldn't have a little boy anymore to love, to buy clothes for, to dress in the morning, to change his diapers, to love, to cherish that little boy, he'd be gone. The message this morning, boys and girls, is that this king is a picture of the enemy of your souls, the devil. And he wants to do the same to you. He wants to do the same to you. Now, we sang at the beginning that Jesus loves me. Would Jesus want you to go into the river and drown? No. Would he want you to be eaten by crocodiles? No. And Jesus wants to take you to heaven someday, where there's happiness and joy and bliss and lots of fun things for boys and girls to do. It's a place that is so good that the Bible doesn't even tell us a whole lot about it, but it does say that it's far better. Far better. Now, I want to spend a few minutes talking about another little boy. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Now, we saw Henry up here at the front, and he looked like such a perfect little baby, but there's something inside of Henry that is in all of us. Henry was born with an evil nature. And, you know, there was only one little boy that was ever born in this world who was perfect in every way, inside and out. And that's the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to read about him as a little baby, a young child, actually. Matthew chapter 2. And we'll read a little bit here. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently,'" now notice this, "'for the young child.'" Seven times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the young child. "And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. Now, I was wondering if I could get some more help this morning. There's a few children that are 2 and under. Do you think the parents could bring them up for me, please? Let's have all the children up here that are 2 and under. Now, we already had Henry up here, but we need Caleb and we need these two little girls and Jack. Boy, I think there's a couple more that are under 2. Oh, here we go. Perfect. Oh, here's another one. Maybe you thought Sunday school wasn't for children that were under 2, but you know what? Sunday school is for everybody, but especially the children. Okay, so here's a little girl and a little girl, 2 little girls, 2 little boys. Mr. Darby's translation would make us think that it was the boy children that were under 2, but here it says all the children. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but this man Herod, he said that he wanted to come and worship the king of Israel, of the Jews, of Israel. Because these wise men had said, Where is he? We've seen his star and we want to come and worship him. So they went to Herod and they said, Well, Herod must know. But you know, Herod really wasn't even a Jew. He was a usurper. He took the place of being the king, but he wasn't really even one of the children of Israel, according to history that I've read. Now, he sent the wise men to go and find the Lord Jesus. And the star went in the sky. And the wise men followed the star right to where Jesus was with his mother Mary. And they worshipped him. But Herod, he didn't waste any time to, in his mind, why would I go and find another king? I'm the king. And he said, you know, you tell me where he is. I want to come and worship him too. But you know, Herod didn't want to worship someone else. He wanted everyone to think he was great. And he said to the wise men, now when you find him, you come tell me where he is. You know, Herod wanted to kill that little baby. He wanted to kill the Lord Jesus, the one who died for me on the cross so that I could have my sins forgiven. Herod wanted to kill him. Now think of these little children that are up here on the front. Don't they look wonderful? They're so precious. Look at this little girl, and his dad is hugging her. He loves her. And when the wise men were warned of God to go another way back to where they came from and not to tell Herod about the Lord Jesus and where the Lord Jesus and his parents were, Herod said, okay, that's it. I'm going to wipe out all the kids that are about 2 years old and under, according to the time that the wise men had come and told him about. So he sent his soldiers and he said, I want you to go from house to house. I want you to go in this door and the next door and the next door, and all the little kids, I want you to kill them. Isn't that terrible? Can you imagine how happy Mark would be? How happy Ben would be if a soldier came in and said, Where's your kids? I want to see them. How old's that boy? Oh, he's 1.5 years. Okay, I'm going to kill him. Take his sword and kill the little boy. Oh, how old's this little boy? Oh, he's only 3 months old. Oh, we got to kill him too. Think of the sorrow. And it says here, Rachel weeping for her children. Think of the dads. And the moms that were sad for days and days, probably their whole lives, because of this wicked king. And you know, this wicked king is a picture of the devil, of the enemy of your souls, who does not want you to love Jesus. He wants you to say, you know, I have lots of time. I know Jesus died on the cross, but that doesn't really matter to me. But you know, the Lord Jesus is saying to you this morning, He's saying, I love you. I want to be your friend. And let's read a few verses from the book of Mark, just to show you how much the Lord Jesus loves children. So let's read about some young children in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and the 13th verse. And they brought young children to him, that's to the Lord Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, or allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Well, thank you for coming up to the front. But you boys and girls, you can see these little boys and little children and think of this wicked man Herod and how he said, yeah, just go and get rid of all those boys because one of them is probably going to be the rightful king and take my position, and I don't want that. I want to be the king. So he went from house to house and killed all those boys. Now what did we just read about the Lord Jesus? We read about how the Lord Jesus, when his disciples said for the children not to come to the Lord Jesus, he was displeased. He wanted the children. And what did he do? It says he took them up in his arms and it says he blessed them. He put his hands upon them and blessed them. Isn't that a lot different than what Herod did? What did Herod do? He didn't have any time for children. In fact, he said, get rid of them. And he killed them. But Jesus didn't do that. He put out his arms like this. And he put his hands on the little boys and he hugged them and he blessed them. And he went to the next little boy, took the little boy and the next little girl. He had time for all of them. And it says that the Lord Jesus was displeased. He was displeased that his disciples didn't realize that his heart was open to everyone, even the little children. And you know, we have this meeting for you children, particularly, so that you'll realize that it's not just your dad and mom that this conference is for. This conference is for you too. This conference is for you to learn a little bit more about the love of the Lord Jesus for you and his desire to have you for himself. Now, if we turn back a couple of chapters, we're going to read about a mom, and she had a young daughter. Let's read chapter 7, verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 29. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Well, here we have a little story of a lady, and her daughter was in a very bad situation. She actually had an evil spirit living in her. And so this lady realized that the only solution for her daughter was to come to the Lord Jesus for help. And you know, the Lord Jesus was able to cast that devil out of her. But the point I read these verses for, the point I read these verses was that this mother had a desire for her daughter, her young daughter. And you know, when I was a boy, my dad and mom, they used to bring me to the conferences. And I have to tell you that I didn't understand many times a lot of the things that were said. I did understand some of the things, though. And as I got older every year, I understood a little bit more and a little bit more. And you know, this lady, she came to the Lord Jesus for her daughter. And you know, that's why your parents have brought you here. Because they care about you. They want you to hear about the Lord. And they know that you're not going to understand everything. They already know that. But if you learn a little bit here and a little bit there, it won't be long till you learned a lot. Now we're going to read a little bit about a young son. We read about a young daughter. So let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. There's a lot of young children and younger people mentioned in the Word of God. In fact, over 400 times we read about young or younger or youth in the Word of God. So 2 Samuel chapter 9. And this is the story of Mephibosheth. But I just want to read verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. You know, in the Old Testament, the names that were given to children were very important. And Micah has a meaning, and it's precious to me. It means this. It means, who is like unto Jehovah? Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet. But he remained loyal to David his whole life. He loved David, and he was not seeking his own. He was seeking the betterment of his king David. And he names his little boy, who is like unto Jehovah. You know, I like this because the relationship that Mephibosheth had with his Lord was such that it affected his children. And I would just like to say it this way to you parents that are here today. Your love for the Lord Jesus, your affection for Him is seen by your children. And may it be that as parents, our children would see the love that we have for the Lord Jesus, and that they would be drawn to Him too in that way. Well, I was thinking about some other young people in the Word of God, and I know this is a children's meeting, but I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about young men and young women. So let's turn first to 1 Samuel 30. First Samuel 30, and we'll read from verse 11. This is for the young men that are here. At the beginning, I made a comment about people who are paying attention and people who are not. Young men, pay attention. Verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. For my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. And so on. You know, sometimes, and I could have read this with more emotion perhaps, you can think about this later yourself. But here's a man, a young man, and he says with his own lips, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, a young man of Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. I'm a young man of the world, servant to the flesh. That's what an Amalekite is. It's a picture of the flesh. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. So, what a crummy master he had. The guy gets sick. The master says, oh, he can't help me anymore. And he leaves him without any food and without any water. And who finds him? The servants of David, the true king. Picture of the Lord Jesus. It's beautiful. This man's thirsty. He's hungry. He's about to die in this world he's left by his crummy master. And he's found by David. What does David do? David's servants, they gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water. You know, that was the salvation of this young man. And you know, the Lord used this young man later to bring David down to find his family and the families of his men. And there was great deliverance. But you know, I've spent some time thinking about this young man. You know, can't you just imagine? You know, Mr. Kent spoke last night about the man that was dying in the desert and how he thought about every drop of water that he'd wasted in his life and he wished he could have them, no doubt. Can you imagine this man after 2.5 days laying there sick, no food, no water? What do you think he was thinking about? I'm sure he thought he was going to die. And I'm sure he was so sorry that he was ever a servant to such a crummy master. And then he meets David face to face. He has an interview. And what does David say? To whom belongest thou? I say that to you right now. Who do you belong to? Young men, who is your master? You don't have to answer me. But you need to stand in the presence of God this morning and answer that. Who is your master? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He wants to be your master. He's a good master. He'll take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll give you water from His Word every day. There's more than we could ever want here. He won't leave you out in the desert to die when He's done with you. He's not going to throw you away. He's going to take you to His home. That's what His desire is. And He's going to bless you for your whole life while you're His here. Do you think that that man ever was unfaithful to David the rest of his life? When he had had such a crummy master before, and all of a sudden he has David as his master. What deliverance! The grace of God. Whence art thou? Where did you come from? Why are you here this weekend? Why? Well, God's desire is for your blessing. May it be so. Now we'll turn over to the book of Ruth. Turn back to the book of Ruth, rather. Just a verse we'll catch here in the 12th verse of chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 12. And let thy house, this is speaking of Boaz, to Boaz, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the woman gave, shall give thee, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So here we have a young woman. You know this young man of Egypt? He was a Gentile. He had no claims to the promises, no right to be blessed by David. He was a foreigner. And then we have Ruth, a Moabitess. She comes into such blessing. Her desire was to be one with the people of God. She went on faithfully. She demonstrated by her enthusiastic life, by her diligence, her love for her mother-in-law, for the people of God. So the result was blessing. Young women, I would encourage you to follow the Lord. Don't give up. Be diligent. The Lord will bless you. Perhaps you're a Gentile too, like I am. And yet the God of Israel, the God of the universe, loves me. He loves you too. His desire is to bless you. Dear sister in the Lord, don't give up. Go on for His glory. There were a few other young men that I wanted to talk a little bit about. We're out of time. There's a young man in the book of Acts that we read in chapter 7, at the end of that same chapter, and his name is Saul. And they were stoning Stephen, and the Jews laid their clothes at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. You know, the Lord intervened in his life. That light shone from heaven. He fell on his face, became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord reached out and touched his life. And I would just encourage each one of us, as the Lord Jesus touches our lives, that we would be open to Him, to serve Him. Then we read a lot about Timothy, him being a young man. Perhaps that was his timidness too. As a younger man, he recognized his place as Elihu in the Old Testament. But Timothy was told not to let no man despise thy youth. You know, the Lord Jesus can use us as young people and as children for His glory. And then we spoke about Eutychus. He was another young man. You know, in Mr. Darby's translation, it makes the point by the wording. It says he was overcome with sleep. twice in that verse. The first overcome is he was kind of nodding off. He was getting sleepy. The second overcome in that verse is that he was asleep. He was totally overcome. And that's kind of how it is, isn't it? For us as young people. It's progressive. You know, if we miss reading our Bible one day, you know, the next day, it's a little easier to miss. And if we miss going to prayer meeting because we're too busy and we have too much homework to do, you know what? We miss once, then the next prayer meeting is a little easier to miss. And then it's the reading meeting. Oh, I'm busy. I got an exam tomorrow. Overpowered by sleep. And then asleep. You know, may it be an encouragement for us, for the young, first of all, to recognize the love of the Lord Jesus. And then us as young people to recognize the goodness of the Lord Jesus and His desire for us, His love for us, the service that He has for us to do to please Him. One last thing. The Lord Jesus, He took up those little children in His hands. You know, His desire was to have those little children on His heart. But His desire was to have those little children in His home. And His desire, boys and girls, for you today is to have you in heaven. And so those very hands that reached out in love to those little children, those very hands were stretched out on a cross. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and those nails were through His hands and through His feet. And the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of men like me, who said terrible things to Him and did terrible things to Him. And then it got dark. And the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of God for my sins. And then He died. And He gave His life. And a soldier took a spear and pierced His side. And we can read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Children, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He died for you, if you will have Him as your own Savior. While I'm praying, why don't you ask Him to be your Savior if you haven't done that yet? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we'd like to say thank You for dying on the cross, for allowing men to nails through Thy hands and Thy feet, for allowing that soldier to put that spear into Thy side. And now Thy precious blood can wash away sins and make us clean before Thee, our God. We pray for each boy and girl, that each one of them may have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And if they haven't yet, that they may realize Thy love, Lord Jesus, that Thy hands are outstretched toward them to make them Thine own. We thank Thee for each person that's here. We thank Thee for the young men and young women. We pray for courage for them to follow the Lord and to be blessed eternally. We give thanks for this time together, and we pray in Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.